Welcome to Versus History with Elliot Watson and Patrick O'Shaughnessy.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this edition of Versus History. I hope you're all well. Elliot, I hope you're well.
I am very well. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for asking.
Last week, we had an interview with me on King George III. In that vein, and to continue, Elliot, it's your chance to be interviewed this week. How's that going to feel?
It's going to be good. I'm a little bit nervous, actually, I have to say. I'm also a little bit sick. I'm a little bit nauseous this week. I don't know why, but I'm going to press ahead, and hopefully I can answer your questions in a suitable manner.
Of course you can. This is a 15-minute frenzy. Last week it was me. I had 15 minutes on King George III. Elliot asked me as many questions as he could fit into that time period. It's going to be the same for you, Elliot, this week. I'm the man with the questions, and hopefully, undoubtedly, you're the man with the answers. And do you want to tell them? I'll give you 30 seconds for free, if you like. What topic is it going to be about?
Well, make sure if I start rambling, you cut me off.
Oh, okay. Happily. I love cutting you off.
Okay, this is how it came about. Patrick asked last week what topic you would like I would like to be interviewed about, and I said, well, my favourite area of history is modern 20th century American history. And so he said, okay, pick a topic from there. And I said, one of my most interesting topics is the Vietnam War or American involvement in the Vietnam War. So that is a topic for discussion today in this 15-minute frenzy.
Let's start discussing then. I'm going to start off. Why do you like it?
Why do I like it?
Yes, please.
Okay, start off with a very difficult question. Here's what I'm going to answer that question with a question. Can you tell me exact date upon which the Americans involved themselves in the Vietnam War?
Probably the late 50s with advisors, I'm guessing, or the early 60s when the French were withdrawing. Is that the date?
Well, this is why I like the subject, because apart from the unspeakable tragedy, which obviously we must never forget from both sides, all sides that were involved in the Vietnam War, it is almost impossible to pinpoint with any degree of accuracy where American involvement in the Vietnam War actually started. You could, if you wanted to, you could go all the way back to the Russian Revolution. You could, if you wanted to, trace it to Roosevelt. You could, if you wanted to, trace it to Truman. You could trace it to Eisenhower. You could trace it to Kennedy. You could trace it to Johnson. It's almost impossible to pinpoint. As a result of there being no formal declaration of war, almost you can interpret American involvement any way you wanted to. What do we mean by the term involvement? Because there's no date upon which America says, right, we are now at war. America has not declared war on anybody since World War II. And yet they have been involved in so many conflicts and conflagrations, and the same was true of the Vietnam War. And that's why I find it interesting. Where does it start? Nobody really has the definitive answer.
Fantastic. I hope you've got some definitive answers to the next question.
That's right.
What was the Vietnam War in a nutshell? If you're explaining it to someone who is maybe very, very young or has no idea of what it was and you've got 60 seconds to do it, what was it in a nutshell? Go.
Okay, well, it evolved out of the debris of World War II. It evolved out of the beginning and the development of the Cold War. It evolved essentially as what we call a proxy war between the forces of the Soviet Union and the forces of the United States.
Can I just jump in? What is a proxy war?
A proxy war is a war that is fought by sides outside of a country, but they use certain countries to fight that war for them. It's to avoid, for example, during the Cold War, the United States and the Soviet Union were never really going to fight each other on the battlefield, primarily because they had nuclear missiles. So what they did was they used other countries to fight for them. And so that is a proxy war.
You've answered that question. Getting back to your original question.
Right. So the Americans get themselves involved in the Vietnam War in South Vietnam. The Russians and the Chinese get themselves involved in North Vietnam. And then as a result of which we have a long period of conflict between the North Vietnamese and the South Vietnamese, with the support of the Americans in the South, the Soviets and the Chinese in the North. It lasts really until 1973, when Richard Nixon signs the Paris Peace Accords, and then the final Americans get out in 1975. But as I said earlier, where does it start? It's so difficult to actually say. The French were in there beforehand, as they had Vietnam or Indochina as an imperial colony, and they got kicked out in 1954, and into that vacuum the Americans slid.
Fantastic, great answer. You've pinpointed the fact that it's very difficult to pinpoint when it started, but if you could explain one or probably two causes. We like to avoid monocausal explanations.
Yeah.
That I could remember forever. What two causes of the Vietnam War would you like to briefly outline for us today?
Right. Well, this is probably one of the most multi-causal involvements in modern history, particularly for a war. There are so many reasons why it was that A, the conflict emerged in the first place, and then B, why the Americans got involved. I think you cannot separate American involvement from the Cold War. Okay, we moved the Marshall Plan, the Truman Doctrine, and the policy of containment from Europe to Asia. It began with the Korean War in 50 to 53, and the Americans targeted South Vietnam as a domino that could not fall in the Cold War, and that's one of the major reasons. So it's inseparable from the Cold War. The second is, we must remember that even though the Americans fought the Japanese during World War II, when World War II ended, America did their best to administer and rebuild Japan, because Japan would be a bulwark or a barrier against the spread of communism east, and Japan was also one of the five industrial centers of the world. So it was important to protect Japan from the possible spread of communism throughout Asia. So those are my two big reasons: Cold War and protection of Japan.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay, in the chronology of this war then, were there any particular points that turned it? Were there any turning points?
Absolutely there were. There were a number. I'm going to pick out two for you. One is, in terms of American involvement and in terms of escalation happened very slowly and very gradually over a period of time. Up until the turning point I'm about to mention, American involvement stood really at about 16,000 advisors in Vietnam that Kennedy, and I just said advisors in inverted commas, that Kennedy had implanted there before he was shot and killed in 1963. But that was essentially the limit of the boots on the ground, and even then they were called advisors. But when we think of the Vietnam War, we think of lots of American soldiers in Vietnam. You think of the movies, Full Metal Jacket, Platoon, and so on. And I would say the turning point that escalated American involvement in Vietnam, the Vietnam War, had to be the Tonkin Gulf Resolution of 1964. In 1964, there is a moment off the coast of North Vietnam whereby a U.S. ship called the USS Maddox was fired upon. Or perhaps fired upon, or not fired upon. Either way, the response of the Johnson government was to petition Congress for greater support so that he could prosecute those responsible for this perceived attack on the Americans. And as a result of this, from this point onwards, we have a massive escalation, both in terms of finances that Congress was willing to grant LBJ, but also the troop numbers that ended up being in Vietnam. For example, in 1964, we have about 20,000 boots on the ground. Within a year of that, within 2 years of that, we have nearly just over 500,000 soldiers. The death tally of Americans in Vietnam stood at 401. And yet, within a couple of years after the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, we're talking about every year having over 10,000 American soldiers die. And so the Tonkin Gulf Resolution is really the turning point for American escalation and involvement in Vietnam.
Turning point one. Do you want to do any more?
I'll do the second one quickly. If we're going to talk about America getting involved in Vietnam, one turning point for America de-escalating, or at least reconsidering being involved in Vietnam, would have to be the Tet Offensive in 1968. The Tet holiday in Vietnam was a celebrated holiday where essentially, traditionally, people did not work, people took their time to celebrate, and it was assumed that in 1968 that routine would be followed. But the Viet Cong and elements of the North Vietnam, they crossed the border and they attacked the American forces in various cities within South Vietnam. As a result of that being taken completely by surprise, the North Vietnamese almost overran South Vietnam and almost destroyed the American morale as well as the American military will in South Vietnam. And it was at that point that really the people of America saw this on TV, and they were so surprised at just how quickly and swiftly the North Vietnamese had flooded south that they began to doubt the words that their government were telling them that they were actually winning the war, because on the TV it appeared that actually they were not. And from that point onwards, pressure begins to build on Congress as well as the presidents to de-escalate.
Fantastic. I suppose that leads us on organically to the next question.
Go on then.
It's going to be about why the communists won. Layman might think America, huge superpower, North Vietnam, tiny, small. How on earth could America lose? Would you like to tell us?
This is, again, one of the... It's such a multi-causal question. It's a very loaded question. Whenever you ask why it was one side won, you must have a look at why the other side lost. And it's impossible to separate those two things. I think the greatest problem that the Americans had was that they fought a limited war in North Vietnam. They couldn't risk using nuclear weapons, although these were suggested by certain people, because that would invite the Chinese and the Russians in. They were fighting in the jungle, in unfamiliar territory, and they were facing guerrilla tactics, the kind of which they hadn't really been faced with before. On top of all of this, there was a will for the North Vietnamese, a historical will that the Americans didn't really understand, to get foreign interlocutors out of their country. They'd had Chinese dominance, then you had French dominance, and then you had perceived American dominance. So for hundreds of years they've been dominated by other countries, and they believed that they were fighting for their very lives, for their independence, whereas the Americans were fighting for something more abstract, the domino theory in the Cold War. And you did get a sense, particularly towards the end of the Vietnam War, that the American soldiers simply did not have their heart in the mission, whilst the North Vietnamese, the Viet Cong, the Viet Minh, always had their heart in the mission.
Yeah, it's a very good point about foreign intervention. I was in Vietnam, I think, 3 summers ago.
Oh, yeah?
And they mentioned the Japanese took it over from Vichy France.
That's
World
right,
War II,
absolutely.
So we could throw in another one.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on then. You're doing very, very well for time. consequences or the impact of this war. You can take this any which way you so desire. You can do domestically in America, in Vietnam, or the wider Cold War. Consequences, impact. Over to you. Talk about that which you want to.
Okay, well, I think the primary impact is that because America had their, for want of a better term, had their fingers burned in Vietnam, it took them a long time to gain their confidence before they would decide upon any overt and full-scale military application abroad. It helped to bring down, obviously, the White House, Nixon's White House. But I think the longer-reaching legacy was one of a withdrawal from military foreign involvement, but also it caused a deep psychological wound within the United States, in terms of how they were supposed to view this. Were they supposed to view it as a loss? Were they supposed to view it as a stalemate? Were they supposed to view it in the wider context of the Cold War? What about the soldiers that had come back? Were they heroes? Were they villains? But let's not forget the impact, the lasting legacy, on a more practical everyday, in a more practical everyday sense, is on the men and the women that either fought in the war on the side of the Americans and the Vietnamese, or were impacted by it. Vietnam still suffers through the nightmares of chemical warfare that the Americans still refuse to admit their responsibility for, as well as the wholesale destruction of what was a primarily agricultural country, with millions of Vietnamese dead, as well as 58,500 American soldiers dead as well.
Yikes, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Okay, final question then.
Got it.
You got 30 seconds to sell it to someone that's just not interested, the Vietnam War, and you're interested in it. What would you say?
If you're looking at the 20th century, and once you've examined World War I and World War II, there are very few military involvements, if you're interested in military history, or involvements in international relations, that have such a wide array of causes, outcomes, events, significant details, as well as turning points, and confrontation and discussion and debate, as you do from the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War isn't just a military or historical event, it is also a philosophical, a moral, an ethical, and an existential discussion and debate.
Fantastic, thanks for that. A couple of questions from listeners. Was it just America fighting the Vietnamese, or did they have any friends supporting them?
They did have a certain number of friends to begin with.
Britain?
Well, the British supported them up to a certain point, but there were never any British troops in Vietnam. In fact, the longer the Vietnam War went on and the greater the escalation, the more alienated the Americans became, and their allies actually began to openly criticize their involvement in Vietnam. And you had a real problem with perception, because the Americans were supposedly trying to promote this idea in the Cold War that they were the liberators, yet it appeared, particularly as the television war escalated, that they appeared to be the oppressors. And as a result of that, the Australians, the Americans, the Canadians, and a lot of erstwhile allies withdrew their support.
There was only one question. I was playing with you. Thank you very much. Anything else you'd like to say about it?
I don't think so. There are wonderful films, wonderful books, the things they carried, and by Vivian Sanders about the Vietnam War. That look at the legacy but also the events as well. But I think we can just leave it there.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks very much for that, Dr. Watson. A superb, sublime insight. I don't think you'll find any better in 15 minutes. Complete overview of the Vietnam War. Thank you very, very much indeed.
Not a problem.
In terms of opening this up so we can democratise this opportunity for everyone, if you're a history teacher, armchair history buff, or just anyone with an interest in anything historical, you're very, very welcome to come on Versus History and have a 15-minute frenzy with us.
Absolutely. Sounds
fantastic.
Great.
All right, let's call this a day then. Thank you very much indeed. It's Versus History. Buy our two books, Lord Durham, 33 Easy Ways to Improve Your History Essays. Buy them both.
Buy them both. Why not?
Exactly. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
That's all from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you for downloading and listening to this edition of Versus History. Subscribe. Visit us at our website, www.versushistory.com.